Today's daf is Pesachim daf Mem. We left off on the bottom of daf Lam Tesim days right after the Mishnah. Today's shir is sponsored by Elisha Graf in honor of my children, the Leibowitz boys. On that end, Elisha is going to be giving the shir starting on Thursday for the next week and a half. I'm going to be going on the road with my boys, so tomorrow I'll be saying the shir, and then Thursday through next Friday, with the exception of Sunday, at least we'll be saying this year. So we are holding on Daf Lamed Tesim Beis. We began a Mishnah that discussed a bunch of different things that a person is not supposed to do with grain, because if you do these things with grain, it could be bali de chimutz, chewing on the grain and soaking the grain before you feed it to animals, because all of these things could be bali de chimutz. So today's daf also begins with a list of things that a person should avoid doing out of concern that it's going to lead to chimutz. And we have machlok sabai rava, whether fruit juices can cause chimutz. The Gemara goes on to discuss soaking grains and whether we're allowed to soak grains. Maybe it's even mutter to soak grains. Maybe it's even a mitzvah to soak grains. That's the sugya called lasisa, whether we're supposed to do lasisa with grains. Rava then deals with a situation where a large volume of grains became wet shortly before Pesach. What do you do with all of it? And then the daf is going to conclude with a Mishnah that lists more things to avoid based on the risk of chimut. So we really only had one daf of marar, and now we're back to chametz. So all of these different things that we have to avoid, lest they are bali de chimutz, lest they lead to chimutz. So we read the Mishnah yesterday. Let's pick up from the Braisa, from the Gemara, the Braisa Tan Rabbanan. Says the Gemara Tan Rabbanan, Eil dvarim she'ein bali de chimutz. The following things can never become chametz. They simply don't become chametz. Ha'afui v'hamavushal v'chalit shechaltu barotchin. If you have baked grain, if you have cooked grain, and if you have scalded grain that was scalded with boiling hot water, that grain will never become chametz. Mavushal ad mavashal emechameah. I asked the Gemara, wait a second. Mavushal, if you have cooked grain, it's not going to become chametz. While you're cooking it, it will become chametz. It comes in cooking, it means cooking it in water. So isn't that itself going to make it chametz? So I'm Rav Papa ha'afui shabishlo ka'amar. Now what we mean to say is, if you cook grain that has already been baked, then it's not going to be bali de chimut. So if you pre-bake all the grain, it's not going to be a problem of chametz. Tanya Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudah Omer, kemach shenafel tochot delaf afil kol yom kulo, eino bali de chimut. If you have flour that there's a drip of water that drips into it even all day long, it's not going to be bali de chimutz. Will never become chametz because of the constant drip is considered activity that's gonna stop the dough from rising. Amrav papa v'hu david tif la de tif. That's only if it's a consistent drip where it goes one right after the other. Actually, before we go on from that, there's a machlokas in the Rishonim. What does that mean that it's not going to be bali de chimutz? Does that mean the entire, let's say you have a large pot of flour and in one spot there's a drip going into that pot, do we assume that none of it becomes chametz, or just that spot doesn't become chametz because of the constant activity? The Ramban is quoted by the Ran, says that the makom hadalf, the place where the drip is coming, that's not bali de chimutz, but the rest of the flour certainly is could be bali de chimutz. The Ramchalva and the Ran, however, disagree, and they say that that from the fact that the Gemara says kemach, it says all the flour, sounds like all the flour is not bali de chimutz, not just the actual spot where the drip is where the drip comes down. Now, how long does this last for? So the Rambam in Chametz Matzah Perikei says that when as soon as it stops dripping, if it then waits kedei hiluch mil, it then becomes aser, meaning the clock on the 18 minutes starts when it stops dripping. However, the Rush in the second paragraph Simul Chaf Aleph, the Rush writes that when the drip stops, immediately you have to bake it. It's not that the clock starts on the 18 minutes, then you have to bake it right away. The chimutz could happen much more quickly once the drip stops, and that's what Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Tav Samach Vav. There's a question in the Rishonim whether this drip is any different than being osek in the Isa. The Gemara is going to say a little bit later on in Daf Memches that kol zman that you're working the dough, that you're kneading the dough, that you're moving the dough, it's not going to be Bali Dechim. What's Pashtus is this is the same din, that it doesn't make a difference whether you're working the dough with your hands or whether the dough is constantly being worked by a drip of water. Either way, it's not going to be Bali Dechim. And that's how the Rambam seems to assume in the fifth parak of Chamitzu Matzah, that when Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says Kol Hayom, it means Kipshuta, that even Kol Hayom Kulo, as long as you're working it, as long as the water is dripping in it, it's going to be totally fine. Rabbi Nadav just says, if that's the case, then why is there a machlokas later on Daf Mem Chesam Beis between Ram Gamliel and the Chacham, where Ram Gamliel says that you have shalosh nashim that can knead the dough, three women knead the dough at the same time, and they could bake in the same oven one after the other. And the Chacham Marcholik, the Chacham say no, shalosh nashim oskos betzah ka'achas. If you have three women that are making matzah at the same time, you have to have them at different stages in the kneading. You can't have them all knead at the same time, then have two sit around while one of them bakes. The Chacham say you have to have one of the achas losha, achas or reches, one of them is kneading while the next one is shaping her dough, vachasof, and the third one is baking her dough. But wait a second. Well, I thought if you're also kol hayom kulo, you should be able to have the other two women just sit there. As long as they keep touching it, it should be fine. So they say that no. When it comes to this askos b'isa, only when three women are osik b'isa k'seder that Rabbi Gamliel and the Chacham say, that's where it's not bali dei chimutz. But otherwise, it is going to be bali dei chimutz kol hayom. Meaning, if you leave it kol hayom, would be bali dei chimutz. Apparently, the water is better. Water, even kol hayom, because water adds some coolness to the dough. So somehow, that's a greater impediment to the chimutz than actually physically manipulating the dough with one's hands, which warms the dough and may cause it to become chametz. That you cannot do all day long. You could have shalosh nashim ka'achas, as much time as it takes three women to bake the bread. But even Rabbi Gamliel wouldn't allow five women at the same time, that amount of waiting around. Whereas over here, we allow Kol Hayom Kulo. Amr Dibei Rabbi Shila, back in the Gemara, four lines from the bottom. Amr Dibei Rabbi Shila, Vatika Shari. Vatika is mutter, some type of food that is made with flour. Vatanya Vatika Asr. But we have another brace that says that it's Asr. Lo Kasha, Hada Avdi B'mishcha Milcha, Hada Avdi B'mayo Milcha. It depends what you make it with. Do you make it with oil and salt, or do you make it with water and salt? If you make it with water and salt, so that's going to be chametz. If you make it with oil and salt, there's no water, so it's not going to be chametz. That's the question. What about the salt itself? Is the salt going to be bali dei chimutz? So there's a major discussion in the Rishonim whether the Torah writes matzasi kasuv shem nintzes b'melachita im melach harei chametz. That if you find a grain in your salt, that grain is already chametz. Ki hamelach mitoldos hamayim, because salt comes from water, and it's not bechal meperos, it's not considered meperos, it's considered mayim. So the salt itself is machmitz the grain. That's how the Torah writes, and he says the eino nir li. He says, but I don't think it's correct because the Gemara says vatika that's made with shemen umelach is okay. It sounds like that since there's shemen and no mayim, even though there's salt there, the salt is not going to be machmitz the dough. So the Beis Yosef quotes the Shitas Haran, who disagrees with the Torah and says that no, melach is dino kemayim, it's told us a mayim, it has a din of water, and therefore it has the ability to be machmitz. What about the vatika? He says that's because the melech in the vatika is very, it's a very minor amount, and it's mixed with oil, and therefore batal kocho. That melech, for some reason, loses the ability to do what water normally does. Even though even a very small amount of water is able to be machmitz, apparently, according to some Rishonim, a very small amount of salt is not able to be machmitz. So you have this major discussion in the Rishonim, whether you can create chametz simply with salt alone. But then there's a further machlokas haposkim, what kind of salt the Rishonim are talking about. There's salt that's made from dehydrating water, and then there's salt that you get from the karka. So are they arguing about salt that you get from the karka, but the salt that you get from dehydrating water for sure is going to be aser? That's how some of the achronim understand. Or do you understand not the opposite? The Magen Avraham and many other achronim hold that with salt that comes from the karka, everyone's going to be modded. It's not machmitz. The whole machlokas is only salt that you get from water. Whereas the Darkei Moshe says the other way. That salt that comes from the ground is where there's a machlokas. Salt that you get from water, everyone would agree is a problem. So anyway, so this is the discussion when it comes to the concern about salt. The Mishnah Brura quotes the sheet of the Magen Avraham that melach that we get from the karka, you don't have to worry about it at all. You don't have to be choshesh that it's considered like mayim. And he says, but even then, it's right to be bodik to make sure that there's no wheat there, to be choshesh for the sheet of the darkei Moshe. Okay, that's the discussion of the Rishonim. Amar Zutra, lo limchi inish kedera b'kimcha da'afshina, dilmu lo bashal shapir, va'asli de'chimos. Says that a person should not thicken his pot using flour, kimcha da'afshina. Rashi says dried out flour, toasted flour, even though it's already toasted flour, because maybe it wasn't toasted well enough, and it's going to be bali de'chimos. Maybe when you toast it, even though toasted grain can't become chametz, maybe this wasn't toasted so well, and therefore it's going to be bali de'chimos. Amar Rav Yosef lo lichet inish trei chiti b'hadei adadi. Rav Yosef says one shouldn't even toast two kernels of wheat together. Dilma az lechad of yasu b'tzirai dechavrita, because you have to be concerned that maybe one of them will settle into the crack of the other one. And therefore, it's not going to be cooked on all sides. It's not going to be toasted on all sides. And then it's going to be bali dechimutz when it then comes into contact with water, because it's not going to be considered to be fully toasted in advance. The Meiri quotes that Miksas Rabbanim learned from here that if you're not allowed to take two garinim of trechiti and put them together, so he says that they yeshli zar that you shouldn't have two loaves of matzah, two matzahs that touch each other in the oven either, because you have the same concern that when something, the concern over here is that when two things are being roasted and they touch each other, so it's not going to be roasted fully, because in the place where they're touching, the baking or the roasting is not going to go through and through. So the Meiri says that Miktas Chachamim said that the same is true when you're baking matzahs. You have to be very careful that the matzahs don't touch each other, because if they touch each other in the makom that they touch each other, it's going to be it may not become fully baked and it's going to be bali dechimutz. However, the Meiri himself disagrees. He says no, it's only by the roasting of the grains where we're choshish for this, because it's by scalding the grains that we're choshish for this, because the reticha happens al yedei mayim. So since it happens al yedei mayim, your mom is playing with a very dangerous, you're playing with fire over there. You're dealing with water where if the water it doesn't boil through, it's going to be a problem. Plus, when we use our matzahs, the oven is so hot that it bakes it in such a short amount of time. The chashash that it's not going to get through is a very far-fetched chashash. The Ramah paskins la'alach anon tav samach aleph yesh lizar, that a person should be careful when baking matzahs, that while the dough is still moist before it's completely baked, they should be very careful that the matzahs should not touch each other because of this concern that the or is not going to be sholeit on the place where they're touching. The fire is not going to affect the place where they're touching. The Magen Avraham quotes from the Marshal that b'dieved, if they did touch, it's not going to be us. But I think our matzah bakeries are very careful about this, that the matzahs shouldn't touch each other at all while they're baking. V'amar Abaye, fourth line from the top. Lo lichroch inish trei shiboli b'hadi adadi, dilma nafki maya mehai, ubali idach v'asi lidechimutz. Person shouldn't take two grains and toast them together, because liquid may seep out of one of them, go into the other one, and it's going to be bali dechimutz. The liquid that comes out of one grain is going to go into the other, it's going to be machmetzit. Amar le Rava yihachi afilu chadanami, dilma nafik mehai resho bali idach resho. He says, well, if you're going to be concerned about that, well, then even if you have just one kernel you should have, or one stalk, you should be concerned that the liquid is going to come out of one end of it and go into the other end of it and be machmitz. Elam Rav says, why are we not concerned about that? Me peros ninu, me peros ena machmitzin. The liquid that comes out of this is not water. It is me peros. It's fruit juices. It's grain juice. And grain juice doesn't cause chimutz. Only water causes chimutz. Vahadbe Abaye Meahi. The Kalaga Midlay Ulam Mechamsi. And Abaye therefore changes his mind, but not because of Rava's Taina that may peris rein machmitzin, but simply because Abaye holds that so long as it's flowing out, it's not going to cause chimutz anymore. While it's flowing out, it's not, that liquid is not going to be able to cause chimutz. The Amar Abaye, Hay Chatzba da Avshini. Abaye said when we have a jug that we're roasting and drying grain in the oven, aschifa shari, if it's standing, if the jug itself, the kli itself, has its opening, it's upside down, where any water is going to drip right out of it, so that's going to be mutter. But zekifa, aser, if it stands upright, where the liquid will gather at the bottom, then it's going to be aser. But the bottom line is, you see, why is it mutter when it's upside down? Because the liquid is flowing out, and as the liquid is flowing out, where there's no concern of chimutz, so that's why Abaye changed his mind, and that's why Abaye wasn't concerned about toasting two stalks together, with the liquid coming from one to the other. As long as it's flowing out, it's not going to be a problem. Rava Amar Afilu Zekifa Nami Shari Mei Perusinu Mei Perusinu Machmitzin. But Rava, for his part, is going to have no problem even if it's standing upright, because it's all Mei Perus, and Mei Perus doesn't cause chimutz. Tanu Rabbanan Ein Losisin Sa'orin BePesach. Now we start discussing Lasisa. One should not soak barley on Pesach. V'im lasas, and if you do soak barley, nisbaku asuros, if they crack, they're asur. Lo nisbaku mutaros, if they're not cracked, then it's going to be mutar. Rabbi Yossi Amar Shorin b'chometz v'chometz tzomsan, that you could, if they became cracked, you could still soak them in vinegar, and the vinegar will shrivel them up and will take away the chimutz. It will abort the chimutz process. Amar Shmuel ein alach Rabbi Yossi. Shmuel says we do not paskin like Rabbi Yossi. What is lasisa exactly? So several Rishonim assume that lasisa, Rashi and many others, that lasisa is soaking of the barley in a little bit of water in order to make it easier to remove the shell. Other Rishonim say it means the washing of the barley to take the dirt off of the barley, but either way, it's definitely putting the grain in contact with water to achieve a higher quality of flour. So either it's going to be a higher quality because you'll remove the shell really well, or it'll be a higher quality because it will be extremely clean flour. So Rabbi Yossi Amar Shorim Chometz, we said, and Shmuel says, Allah is not like Rabbi Yossi, Amar of Chisa, Amar Marukva, Lo Nisbaku Mamish, El Kol Shilu Manichan Al Piachavis, Vehein Nisbakus Mehalein. Even if it didn't actually crack open, but if you would put it over a barrel and it would crack open, that's already to the point where it's no good. Shmuel Amar Nisbaku Mamish. Shmuel says, no, only if it actually cracks open. Avet Shmuel Uvda Bedura Debe Bar Chashu Nisbaku Mamish. Shmuel Paskind wants that up until the point where it's Nisbaku Mamish, it's totally fine. Amar Rabbi Bal Nefesh Lo Yilsos. Rabbi says someone who's a Bal Nefesh should be careful not to do lasisa. The question is, what's the definition of a Bal Nefesh? So the Rishonim use different terminology to describe who's a Bal Nefesh. Rashi says Bal Nefesh is a chassid. So in other places in the Gilyon quotes on the side of the page that a Bal Nefesh is a Yirei Shemayim, Chared Al Nafsho, someone who's very careful. Some understand that over here, the Aruch understands that over here, Bal Nefesh means someone who's not disgusted by pascha in an ikia, by unclean flour, or by less clean flour, that a bal nefesh should be choshesh for lasisa, because he doesn't mind it. If he doesn't mind dirty flour, so let him have the dirty flour. It has nothing to do with religious piety. It has to do with the level of food that he's used to. That's how the Aruch has over here. Others say Rabbeinu Chananel, the says over here that it's someone who stays far away from a reyach avera midak de karbe b'mitzvah. Someone who's very careful in mitzvahs is a bal nefesh. So okay, you have to figure out whenever we say in Shulchan Aruch bal nefesh should be machmir.
Isn't this like a shash iser karis? So karis is something that affects the nefesh. So maybe here that's why.
That's why I use the term nefesh, because of karis. Maybe, yeah, it could be. In general, whenever we have in Shulchan Aruch that a bal nefesh b'machmir, we always have to figure out who's a bal nefesh. So I remember Rav Shechter once in Shir was saying about a certain Rosh Shiva who used to always brag that he would tell his Talmidim that when it says bal nefesh b'machmir, it doesn't mean you. You guys aren't bal nefesh. You barely keep the basic halacha. So Rav Shechter pointed out, but the Rosh Shiva has to realize that he should be a bal nefesh. He's a Rosh Shiva already. By the time a person achieves a certain level, they're supposed to take on a little bit more as they move on in life. So as they grow, hopefully, throughout life. So Mayir bal nefesh afilu kol almanami. So why do we say bal nefesh shouldn't do lesisa? Nobody should do lesisa. The Tanya in losin sa'orin bePesach, because the Brisa says that you're not supposed to do lesisa on barley on Pesach. So achi kamar bal nefesh afilu chitin deshariri lo yilsos. No, bal nefesh should be machmer not to even do lesisa on wheat. Forget about barley. Amler of Nachman mandat sayis leva'aba achol namedi yipusha. Whoever listens to you is going to end up eating dirty bread. It's going to be disgusting because there's not going to be any lesisa done on the bread. The habay Rav Huna lasasi, in Rav Huna's house they would do lesisa. The ubay Rava Baravin lasasi, and in Bay Rava Baravin's house Rava Amar also lilsos. Rava says you're not allowed to do lesisa. We're going to see Rava changes his mind a few times. Rava at first says you're not allowed to do lesisa. Ela hadatanya in losin sorim pesach sorim hudalo achiti shari. But wait a second, Rava. What's Rava going to do with the line in the brisa that you're not allowed to be? You're not allowed to soak the saorin on Pesach. The implication is that chitim, that wheat, you are allowed to do lesisa. No, let me buy you kamar. The way he understands the brisa is the brisa saying as follows: let me buy chitim kiven di ispeitzi. It's obvious that you can't soak wheat where it has a crevice in it and the water can get in. But even barley, which is smooth, I might think it's okay to soak barley. That's what the Bryce is telling me. That you're not even allowed to soak barley, but certainly you're not allowed to soak wheat either. That was Rava's original statement. Hadar Amar Rava, Mutter Lilsos. Then Rava says, it's Mutter Lilsos. Titani, Yotzen Pas Nikia Vadra, Vievsha Nikia, below the Sisa. Because Rava says you could be Yotzi with Pas Nikia, the mitzvah of Matzah. But you can't have Pas Nikia without doing Lasisa. The only way to have Pas Nikia is by doing Lasisa. So the Achronim all ask the question, what's Rava's Raya? The Brisa says that you could be Yotzi the mitzvah of Matzah. It doesn't say you're allowed to bake your matzahs that way. It says that if you had it, you could be Yotzi. No one says that no one is suggesting necessarily that if you do lesisa on chitim that it's chametz. We're saying you're not supposed to do it because you're not supposed to risk it. But maybe once it's already been done and you saw that it didn't become chametz, that it would be okay. So that's all the achronim are bothered what the raya is. So Sfasema says that if it was usher to do lesisa on chitim because of chashash chimutz, it would turn out that at the time you were being losis lechitim, then you weren't being shomer on it mishum chimutz because they could become chametz through the lesisa, so it would be a chisaron and shmura. It wouldn't be shmura matzah. The fact that you say yotzei bei yidei chavaso means that it had a shmira malusa, that it had a proper shmira. So that's the issue. Okay, other achronim answer differently. Eser of papa l'rava, so Rav Papa asked Rava, kamachin vaslosel shel nachrim shel kfarim tohorim v'shel krachin tmein, that if you have doughs of flowers of flowers sold by goyim, so if it's from the small villages, it's tohor. If it's from the large cities, we assume it's tame. The kfarim my taima lav mishum delo lasasi. Why is it from the villages that it starts? Because probably they don't soak the grains. V'kakari le solas, and yet we still call it solas, even though they didn't soak the grains. So tirguma akamcha. No, maybe that's only talking about the kemach. That's not talking about the solas. Basa denafik amar my taima lo emale meha. After the conversation was over, he said, I should have gotten him from a different source. Damar abizera amar biyemi amar. Shmuel, chitin shel menachos ain losasinosan. That the wheat for carbon mincha, we don't do lesisa on. V'kakari luhu solas. Yet we still call the flour made for carbon mincha, we call it solas. So how could you, Rava, say that without lesisa, you can't produce solas? We see by carbon mincha, we call the flour solas, and they don't do lesisa on a carbon mincha. That's the discussion we had the other day. Tos Rabbeinu Peretz wonders that the Gemara in Daf Lamed Vav sounds that the kneading of the dough of the carbon mincha is done with lukewarm water, and that's mutter because Kohanim are reason, and they'll make sure that it doesn't become chametz. But by matzos, you're not allowed to use lukewarm water, so warm machmir by matzah. Yet when it comes to lesisa, according to Rava, it's the opposite. That by menachos we say that Shmuel said before that it's also to do lesisa on the chitim on the menachos, whereas by matzos mitzvah, Rava holds mitzvah mitzvah little sos that we're allowed to do. We'll see Rav in the next line says mitzvah, not only mutter, but even mitzvah that you're allowed to do, or maybe even encouraged to do the sisa. So that's an issue all the Rishonim deal with as well. But anyway, he said, I should have proven him wrong from that line about Korban Mincha, that we call it Seles, even though there's no the sisa done. Hadar Amar Rava, then Rava finally is his third go-around on figuring out whether we do the sisa on Chitim or not. Mitzvah Lilsos, that there's a mitzvah to do the sisa. Shenemar Shmartim Esamatzos, Yilod Dibay Lasisa, Shimer Lamai, because it says Shmartim Esamatzos. Well, if you're not doing Lasisa, what do you need to guard it from? So it must be that you're guarding it from potential chimuts, because there is potential chimuts. So Yishimer Delisha, Shimer Delisha Lav Shimerhu. If it just means to be Shomer the Matzah from the time you start kneading the dough, and you start putting the flour and the water together, well, that's not a proper Shemira. If you, and the raya is, if you get dough from a guy, a person can, it's not a, as long as you know that they're not chametz, it's no problem, you can get your dough from a guy, but you have to make sure that you have a kazayis matzah ba'achrona, meaning, at some point in the night, you need to eat shmura matzah. So the dough from a guy is not shmura, even though it may be shomer mishas lisha, that's not good enough. You need shmira at some earlier point. So ba'achrona in, barishon alo. Bottom line is that all the dough you ate first from the guy was no good. So that's the barishon, it's not about first or last. It means whatever you ate from the guy, the achila rishon that you ate from b'tzeko shel dachrim, that's not going to be yotzei. My time, mishum delav v'bu shimur, because you didn't do proper shimur. V'lav le shimur me'afia ve'elach, why can't you just do shimur from the time that you bake it? Elav shramino shimur me'ekar be'inan. So you see from there that shimur has to be from a much earlier stage. Shimur cannot just be from the time that you bake it. So says the Gemara Umimai. Dilma shiny asam to be in the denachas shimur, loa denachas shimur, loa the shimur. No, maybe over there it was worse, because at the time that you should have been doing the shimur, meaning from the time of the kneading, you weren't doing the shimur. Aval hecha to be in the denachas shimur, loa the shimur, hachanami the shimur, the lisha avi shimur. But maybe from the time, as long as from the time it could be shamur, or it runs the risk of becoming chametz, when you need it, you did the shimur, maybe that would be good enough. Who says shimur Shas Lisha is not good enough, so it's not a raya necessarily. So v'afilu achi lo hadbe Rava. Still, Rava didn't back out. Damelu lahanu demahavchi kipi ki mavchis v'afichu l'shum mitzvah. Even those people who would work in the fields with the grain, where it was way before Lisha, it was before they ever ground the grain up, before they did anything, he already said you should do it l'shem mitzvah. Alma kasavr shimur meikara mitchilas v'atzofa binan. So it sounds like Rava holds you need shimur meikara. That Shmira is something that you require all the way through. What exactly does this mean? B'tzeikol shel nachrim. What are these doughs that you get from a guy that you're allowed to assume are not chametz on Pesach? So some of the Rishonim understand that it means b'tzeikos of a Jew that a guy needed in that Jew's house shelo b'fneihem, but it was in the Jew's home the whole time when the guy was kneading the dough. Other Rishonim understand no, the guy made it in his own house, but when the Jew buys it, he recognizes, he sees that there's no chimutz. So that several Rishonim have a serious problem with that. What do you mean he recognizes that there's no chimutz? First of all, who knows what kind of kelim he used to make this dough? Who knows if he put in a little bit of sa'ar that you didn't see, that at some point there's sa'ar that hasn't activated yet, but is going to make the dough into chametz. Why are you choshesh that it wasn't at least mayim shalanu? There's some basic halachas of making matzah. What does the guy know about making matzah? So there's so many concerns that one has to have for this dough. So the Rishonim deal with that issue at length. There's also a discussion in the Rishonim, and this is a significant discussion in the Halacha, at what point does Shmira need to begin? When we have Matzah Shmura, Shmira begins when? So some of the Rishonim assume, the Rav Haigo and others assume, that you have to be Shomer the Chita from the time that you are Tochen, from the time you grind it in the mill. Others assume Shmira begins Mishas Ktsira. The Bahag, Talmud Rashba, assumes Shmira begins Mishas Lisha. So three basic Shitos in Rishonim. Is it from the harvesting, the grinding, or the kneading of the dough? La halacha and shulchan aruch lipaskin tafnun gimel chitim that you make matzos mitzvah with. Tov l'shamran, the shulchan aruch says it's best to watch them that no water comes in contact with them. Mishas ketzira. So that's why our shmura matzah generally Shmura Mishas Katsira. At the very least, the Shulchan Aruch says Mishas Tchina. Bishas Hadchak, though, you could even buy Kemach Menashuk. You could buy flour in the store and just be Shomer Mishas Lisha and use that for matzah as well. Prichadr says no, even B'dieved, you cannot just be Shomer Mishas Lisha. Shas Lisha is definitely not good enough. All of this is academic, though. We certainly cannot just buy flour in the store and make our matzahs with it on Pesach, because they wash our flour. So if it's pre-washed flour, so that's going to be a problem. That's what the Mishnah Berurah points out in the name of many achronim. Now the minhag is to be mechabes the chitim, to launder, to wash the wheat, and to leave it in water for a while. So we're not allowed to buy flour from the store. We need special flour that was already shamur mishas. We get the matzahs that are made from flour that is shamur mishas ksira. What does shmira mean when you're being shomer? So what do you have to have in mind when you're being shomer? So the Anig Yontif writes in the tshuva that the din lishma by matzah is very different than the din lishma by, let's say, the work that one does on a sefer Torah or the spinning of the tzitzis threads. That over there, the lishma, meaning he says it's over here, it's not about that making it lishma for the mitzvah. Over here, lishma just means make sure that it doesn't become chametz. It's only kavana on the maisa. Just have in mind what this is for, that this is for matzah, that it shouldn't become chametz. It's not about infusing it with a kedushas matzah. That's how the Anig Yontif writes. Reb Chaim thinks otherwise. But anyway, that's at least a possibility. That's how the Anig Yontif writes. Another important discussion that comes up over here is what about machine matzahs? Is there a problem of lishma when it comes to machine matzahs? So you have to have this element of lishma. So based on our sugya, these bitzeko shel nachrim, right? The Rav Huna said you're allowed to use them on Lel Pesach, but they're not shmura matzah because it wasn't shomer lishma. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins that we don't need matzahs mitzvah al yidei nachri, that a guy can't do it for us because a guy can't have lishma, and we need that element of lishma. The Gra says that the makor is our sugya, the makor is our gemara, that bitzeko shel nachri are no good for the mitzvah of matzah. So the poskim say, okay, if a guy can't do lishma, what about a machine? Can a machine do lishma? So the first machines that they had weren't electronic. They didn't plug them in. It was a wheel that someone would turn, and that would turn many other wheels, and that would help. That would need a lot of dough at one time, more than a person could do with his hands. That was the machine that they were talking about, and even that they were concerned about the lishma. They were concerned that that's not a maisa adam because you're just turning the wheel. So whatever happens when you turn that wheel is only kocho, and then when that turns another wheel, that's koach kocho. So it's too far removed from you to create a proper sense of lishma. So that's what the Ha'elef L'Chashlomo, Shlomo Kluger, writes in his tshuvas in Siman Lamed Beis Lamed Vav, that there's a chisaron of lishma when you use machine matzah. He says it's like a maisa cheresh out of a katan. Even though you're the one that's working it, it's too far removed from you when it's actually getting done. Then he says, even for the Shlomo Kluger goes even further. He says even for the rest of the days of Pesach, you shouldn't use this matzah. Forget about lishma. He's not concerned that it's chametz. He says, no, I'm not worried about being chametz, but the hamonam doesn't know the difference between the first night and the rest of the days. And they're going to see that if you use this matzah, they're going to think you can use it for the first night. So it's roi ligzer that you shouldn't use machine matzahs for the rest of the days of Pesach either. Now the Shaul Meshiv in his Kuntras Bitul Modai, he was the first one. The Shaul Meshiv was the one who gave the Ashkacha to machine matzahs. So he wasn't so happy about all these shuvas that came out against the machine matzah. He says, you don't have to worry about the lishma over here. He said that you need shimur lishma. Who says you need a maisa of afia lishma or the lisha lishma? You just have to need to be guarding it lishma. He says he thinks also that there's been a confusion amongst the poskim between the din called koach gavra, which is a din by netilas yadayim, a din by shchita, that you need your physical koach, versus lishma. Lishma is more mental, it's less physical. So he says, by matzah, there's no din of koch kavra. There's din of lishma. That's just on the lishma element. The machine matzah controversy is much bigger than just lishma. We discussed the other day one of the side elements, whether you're allowed to have square matzahs, because matzahs were always round from the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. That was always our tradition, that we always had round matzahs. And other chashashos, a lot of the poskim were primarily worried about chimutz. They thought the machines weren't so good, and that it would be bali. day chimos. They're also worried about that it may not be called lechem because of the way that it's made. That matzah has to be lechem oni. That maybe since there's a little bit of water and it's primarily needed by a machine, maybe that takes away its status as lechem. And others just say it's a shinui minog. Minog was always, we made matzah by hands. We didn't have machines. Yeah, but that was always the minog, so you can't change the minog. So all of these discussions are had by the poskim when it comes to the machine matzahs. Okay, let's see the Gemara further now. Marbrei de Ravina, yes, that we're up to? Marbrei de Ravina, Minaktala Ime Ba'arvi. Marbrei de Ravina, his mother would put away for him wheat from the beginning of the harvesting season to be shamur, to be protected already, Mishas Katsira for him for Pesach. Good. Hahu arba dechiti detava bechishta. There was a boat of wheat that had drowned, that had sunk. So they recovered all the wheat that had sunk in the boat, but now it was all wet. So what do you do with this wet wheat? So Shari Rava Luzvuni Lenachem. Rava said, you're allowed to sell it to a guy. So Eisei Rava Bar Levi L'Rava Beged Shavu Boklayim Hareza Loyim Krenu Lenachri. Wait a second, can you sell something to a guy that he might turn around and sell to a Jew without the Jew realizing that it's a halachic problem? What if you have a beged that you lost shatness in the beged? There's a strand of shatness there and you can't find the strand of shatness there. So don't sell it to a guy. Don't make it a saddlecloth for a donkey. You can make a tachrichin for a mace. You can make it into shrouds for a dead body. Why can't you sell it to a guy? Isn't it because of a concern that he's going to turn around and sell it to a Jew, and the Jew's not going to realize that there's shatness in there? So shouldn't you have the same problem with this wheat that was soaking wet? You're going to sell it to a guy, they're not going to realize that it's chametz, he's going to turn around and sell it to a Jew. So Rabbi said, you know what, you're right, we should not sell it to a guy, sell it to Jews very little bit at a time, so that you're only selling quantities that the Jew will be able to finish before Pesach. If it's the day before Pesach, sell him that day's breakfast, you know, with this wheat, so that he'll be able to finish it all before Pesach. The Rishonim, all that's the Kasha. What do we do with Beged Shavad Boklayim? You put it on a dead body. So the Rishonim, all that's the Kasha. Wait a second, are you allowed to put Isurim on a dead body? The Gemara Menachos says that we make sure that when we bury a dead body, it's tzitzit mutsuyetzes, that we put tzitzis on the dead body because of loig l'rash. We don't want the dead to feel like they're excluded from mitzvos and we're still doing mitzvos. So now you're dafkin to put on a beged of iser on the dead body. So some Rishonim mitarets that there's no iser of wearing shatness when you're not being nene from the shatness. The mace is not being nene from the shatness, so don't worry about it. So he's not violating the iser. There's no iser. The Rash and Rabbeinu Tam say no. It's dafka by tzitzis where it's loig l'rosh. He's not getting mitzvos anyway. He's dead. But dafka by tzitzis loig l'rosh because tzitzis shkula keneged kol mitzvos. So for us to wear tzitzis, that's what he said. We put our tzitzis in. We don't wear our tzitzis out when we go to a cemetery, because it's like the Rosh show that we have the thing that shkula connected kol mitzvos. That's a big deal, but shatness is not a big deal. Other Rishonim say no, this whole din that we're not kover a mace ela betzitzis mutziyetzes is only according to Shmuel that ain mitzvos betelos las lavo, that when there's going to be a tchias hamesim, he's gonna be chayiv in mitzvos again. But if you hold like the Gemara need the mitzvos betelos las lavo, that las lavo there's not going to be mitzvos anyway, so he's not going to need tzitzis when he gets up again. So he could be wearing shatness when he gets up again. He could be not wearing tzitzis when he gets up again. So that's how several of the Rishonim say that there's no need for tzitzis mitziyates anymore. The Aruch Lener is mechalik to mitzvah say mitzvahs lo sase. He says mitzada emes person is shy is onus. It's not shaykh that he's going to be over a mitzvah say or lo sase. So it's not loig l'rush really with the fact that he's violating the isur of shatness because he's an onus or the fact that he's not wearing tzitzis. But he says when it comes to mitzvah say it's loig mitzad for the fact that he's not ever going to be able to fulfill it anymore. By mitzvahs lo saseh, it's not a mockery that he can no longer fulfill the mitzvahs lo saseh. What do you mean? If a person doesn't own shatness, doesn't have access to shatness, he's not going to be able to. It's just not shaykh to him. As long as he doesn't violate the law, what does he care? But a mitzvah saseh, the inability to fulfill the mitzvah saseh, that's the loig l'rash. Okay, Tanur Rabbanan, the Brisa says, Vayter, Ein molin es hakedera. Actually, before the but just one more thing. The Rishonim also ask, well, how far do we have to worry about Lifnei Iver? You're not allowed to sell the wheat to the guy or the klayim, the Beged Shavuot klayim to the guy, because he might turn around and sell it to a Jew. The Gemara of Avodah Zarah says there is an issue called Lifnei Iver L'siti Michshal, but Lifnei Lifnei is mutter. If I cause someone to do something to someone that will then cause the Isser, so that's not a violation of Lifnei Iver. So the Rosh and the Meiri say that Dafka by a guy, we're not Mitzuvah Lifnei Lifnei, but for a Jew, we are Mitzuvah Lifnei Lifnei. The Stipler explains, because by a Jew, if at the end of the day he violates an Isser, even if it's not Mishum Lifnei Lifnei, that's an undesired result. It's an Isser because of Din Arvus, that I have to have, I have to be responsible for every other Jew. So even though it may not be my Isser of Lifnei Iver technically, but it's at least my failure in Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh. But by a guy where there's no Arvus, there's only Lifnei Iver, so then Lifnei Lifnei technically isn't called that I led him to the Isser, if it's a guy at the end of the line that does the Isser. And Arvus, I don't have Arvus for a guy, so you don't have to worry about it. That's how the Stipler explains the chilik between a Jew and a guy in this regard. Okay, Vayetu L'Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, Ein Molin Es HaGedera B'Pesach, one should not thicken a pot of food with flour on Pesach. V'arotza Sheyimlol Nosin Es HaKemach V'achar Kach Nosin Es HaChometz. If you want to do that, if you want to put flour in a pot of food on Pesach, so you should first put the flour and then right away put vinegar in, because vinegar stops the chimutz process. V'yeshom Rach Nosin Es HaChometz V'achar Kach Nosin Es HaKemach. Some say you could even put the vinegar in first, even though the vinegar is going to get cooked a little bit, and you might think it takes away some of the potency of the vinegar if you have it cooking first, still that's okay too. Man Yesh Omrim, who is this Yesh Omrim? Amar Chis Rabbi Yehudi, it's Rabbi Yehuda, Ditnan, the Ilfas Fakadera Sheheviron Murutachin, Leitan Lutachin Tavlin. That if you have a pot in which you cooked food, you should not put tavlin in that pot, you should not put spices in the pot on Shabbos, because a Kli Rishon is Mevashel. So since it's the pot that you cook the food in, when you put something raw into that pot, it will get cooked by being put into that pot. Aval nosin l'tocha ka'ara o l'tocha tamchui. But once you removed it from the pot that you cooked it in, now you put it into a kli sheni, then you could put tavlin into the kli sheni, because a kli sheni does not have the ability to be mevashel. It's interesting. We always say kli, the Gemara always says kli sheni cannot be mevashel. Kli sheni doesn't have the ability to be mevashel. Why are we machmir that we always use either a kli shlishi or some are machmir like Mishabur, not even to use a kli shlishi, right? Even a kli sheni can't be mevashel. No, we're concerned that there are certain things that are called kalei abishel, certain things that are very, very easily cooked, that can even become cooked in a kli sheni. So we generally are concerned about those things, but something that the Gemara says explicitly is not kalei abishel, that you don't have to worry about, so then we don't have to worry that it could be cooked in a kli sheni. So that's the question. What about tavlin? Tavlin over here, the Gemara says that explicitly that it can be cooked, that it's mutter to put it in a kli sheni, because it doesn't get cooked in a kli sheni. So what counts as tavlin? Okay, big discussion in halacha. Rabbi, when it comes to making teas, tea tavlin. Do you have to worry about tea in a kli sheni, in a kli shlishi? Do you have to dafka use a kli shlishi? Rabbi Salvejik said that both of his grandfathers, Rabbi Chaim and Rabbi Elia Prashner, both made tea in a kli sheni, that they didn't use like the kli shlishi, like Rabbi Moshe Mishabur says you can't even use kli shlishi. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Lekolu Nosin Chutz Midavar Sheish Melchametz Vitzir. But here's the point. Rabbi Yehuda says you could put it into any pot as long as it doesn't have chometz, except for something that has chometz vitzir, that has vinegar or brine. V'nukma Rabbi Yossi, why don't we say it's going like Rabbi Yossi? D'tanan or D'tanya Rabbi Yossi Omer Shon B'chometz V'chometz Samson. Rabbi Yossi says that the chometz undoes the leavening process. So Kiyash Minan Le Rabbi Yossi Hani Mili Di'isei Be'inei Avidei Tarov Aslom. Maybe when Rabbi Yossi says that vinegar can abort the chimutz process, that's only when the vinegar is still be'en, but not when it's mixed with other ingredients in a pot full of food. Ula Amar Echad Zeh V'Echad Zeh Aser Mishom Lech Lech Amrin Zira Skar Skar L'Kamer Lo Sikrav. He says, I don't care if you have vinegar before or after. Don't put flour in a pot of food. You're asking for trouble. So just like you tell the Nazir, stay very far away from the vineyard, because you don't want him to be in a position where he's going to be violating Yisurim. You don't want to be putting flour in a pot of food on Pesach. Rav Papi Shari Leilu Bordiki to Beirish Galusa Lemimcha Kader Bechasisi. Rav Papi allowed the people from the Reish Galusa to make with toasted flour to mix it into a pot. Amarav Eika Deshari Kiyai Milsa Beduchta Deshchichi Avdi says, wait a second, are you allowed to do that when there are all these avadim around? You can't trust avadim. They're not gonna watch over it properly. You have to always worry about chimutz when there are avadim around. So Eika Damri Rava Gufa Machla Kidra Bechasisi. The Rav himself would make the kedera with chasisi. Chasisi is the kimcha da avshuna. That's how Rashi says it. It was dried up, toasted grains that he himself would allow it. So this is part of the discussion of kidneys. The Rishonim discuss over here. Rashi says chasisi is kemach that's made from chitim, it's toasted grain, like we've been saying. But the Aruch says not so. The Tosfos quotes from the Aruch that chasisi is kemach shel adashim. It's lentils. It's not something that can become chametz. And still, he says it's ein darko lovely de chimutz kol kach. It doesn't get to chimutz so much. So that's what the poskim say. Maybe based on the Aruch, that's the reason. That's the Magen Mishnah writes that maybe based on the Aruch is the reason for the chumrah of kidneys. That the kidneys itself, it's not that you're going to confuse it with grain. It will be mixed in with grain. No, the kidneys itself, according to the Aruch, becomes a little bit chametz. It doesn't become chametz quite as quickly as normal grains, but kidneys themselves can become a little bit chametz. The Ruba de Ruba, though, of Achron, Rabbi Menach, and many others point out that that's not really the reason for kidneys. That the real reason for kidneys is we paskin not like them. We paskin that it doesn't become chametz at all. The real reason for kidneys is worried that real grains might get mixed in with the kidneys, or that you might confuse a grain for kidneys. And that's why we stay away from kidneys and Pesach. Okay, as Shalom took up from the Mishnah tomorrow. Thank you.